Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alik wa sahbika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alik wa sahbika ya Nurallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, there are also many blessings in reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala is reported to have said that whosoever recites 100 salat upon me, Allah azza wa jal inscribes between his eyes that he is free from the hypocrisy and is free from the hellfire, and he will keep him amongst the martyrs on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, as Muslims, you know, our daily lives, we are very, very busy. Everybody tries to keep themselves busy. But in our lives, there's always times where we're waiting for something to happen. Waiting for a bus, waiting for the next job, waiting for the next customer, waiting to see the doctor, waiting to see the dentist, waiting, waiting, waiting. And this waiting time should never be wasted time. And one of the best ways of utilizing that time is sending Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood e Paak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. So please make an intention that on a daily routine, here we're told that it's 100 times. If you make an intention to recite Durood e Paak at least 313 times a day, then whenever you hear a blessing of reciting Durood e Paak, in it it says in abundance, that those people who recite Durood e Paak in abundance, then that abundance, the pious predecessors have said, that if you recite Durood e Paak 313 times, then you'll be written amongst those people that recited it in abundance. So please make an intention to recite Durood e Paak. Sallu ala al-habib. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, the prophets vary in ranks. Some are more superior than others. And our master, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, has the highest rank among them. He is the final messenger. And Allah azza wa jal sealed the prophethood with him. Nobody can be granted prophethood after the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And anybody who believes that is someone that is going to take them out of the fold of Islam. So it's our fundamental belief that the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. He is the greatest messenger, and there's no messenger after him. But today, inshallah, because it's at that time of the year, we're going to talk about another great Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And in today's topic, inshallah, we're going to learn something about his life, so that as Muslims, we will realize where our iman is, where our belief is with regards to this Prophet of Allah. It is stated that his name was Isa alayhi salam, and his kunya is Ibn Maryam. Kalimatullah, the one who was born without a father by the command of Allah. Masih, he who cures through teaching. Waji, one of high rank and status. And Muqarrab, the one who attained closeness to Allah azza wa jal. And Salih are his righteous titles. Our beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the greatness and excellence of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam in the best of manners. He also mentioned that the return of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam on the near the Day of Judgment and the signs relating to this. So again, this is part of our iman. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am the dua of my father Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the last one of those who gave tidings to me was Isa alayhi salam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this. He said that there is no prophet between me and Isa alayhi salam. There is no prophet between. He will descend from the heavens at the time close to the Day of Judgment. You shall recognize him when you see him. His complexion will be fair with a tinge of redness. His height will be medium, and he will be wearing two pieces of light yellow clothing. He shall not be wet, but it will appear as though drops of water are falling from his head. He shall kill swine. During his time, Allah Azza wa Jal will put an end to all religions except Islam. Isa alayhi salam will destroy the Dajjal. After living on the earth for 40 years, he will pass away, and Muslims will offer his funeral prayers. This is our belief. This is our aqidah. This is what we need to understand. And unfortunately, as Muslims, especially growing up in this country, and I include myself amongst this, But when I grew up in this, I was born in this country. I went to school, college, university in this country. And I grew up confused with regards to the Islamic status, the Islamic stance, the Islamic belief of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And it's very important that we understand this, especially our youngsters that are being influenced outside and they're confused about this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has beautifully described, he said, that Allah azza wa jal will send Isa alayhi salam, who shall descend upon the white eastern minaret of Damascus, in the Damascus Jamia Masjid, whilst wearing two light yellow pieces of clothing. He will have his hands on the arms of two angels. When he lowers his head, drops of water will fall, and when he raises his head, white silver beads will shower like pearls. One aspect of the blessed life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is that he was a very simple in nature, and he possessed boundless humility. Whenever you hear about an incident that happened in the past, the life of one of our pious predecessors, a story of their events of their lives, if we hear about the events of the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we hear about the events of the lives of the prophets of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you hear these events and you hear these things that took place, then think to yourself that these stories, these events have been recorded. They've been recorded and brought down to generation to generation to generation. Why? Why have these stories been brought down? Not so that we can sit here and say, yeah, that was a good story. I've never heard that story before. Wasn't that interesting? No. These stories have been recorded and brought down from generation to generation so we can learn something from them. We can learn from the lives of our pious predecessors. We can learn from the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can learn from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why these things were recorded. They weren't recorded so we could have a good storybook here, and when we go to bed, we have a good story time for our kids to put in the bed. No, they're there for lessons to be learned. And so whenever, whether the Imam gives you the lesson or not, whenever you hear of an event that took place in the past, then ask yourself, what am I to learn from this lesson? What am I to learn from this story? What am I to learn from this life of this person? What do I need to do to benefit myself from this? So when we hear of the events of the past, bear this in mind. Again, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he was a very humble person, a very simple person in nature. And it said that if he wished, he could have had the life of luxury and comfort. He could have had a whole heap of wealth. He could have worn the most expensive clothes. He could have eaten the best food, and he could have lived in a palace. But he wanted simplicity. He did no such thing, but instead rejected the comforts and luxuries of this world, preferring the life of simplicity and humility. It stated that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he once went to his companions whilst wearing a woolen upper garment, a simple lower garment, barefooted and bareheaded. Due to hunger, his color had changed and his lips had become completely dry due to thirst. He greeted his companions with salam and he said to them, O Bani Israel, if I wish, then with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, the world and all its bounties would fall at my feet. But I do not like this. I do not like this. And he said to O Bani Israel, always consider the world as lowly. Do not give it any honor. It will become soft for you. Condemn the world and you will be successful in the next life. Do not place the hereafter behind your back and honor this world. Indeed, this world is not something worthy of respect that you should honor it. It calls you towards a new calamity or loss every day. So save yourself from its deception. You know this dunya? You know this dunya? We're running after this dunya. We run after this world and we don't even realize it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if you were to put water on your finger, that water in your dunya, on your finger, that's the dunya. The water in the ocean, that's the akhirat. And we run after this. Yeah. We run after this. This dries up, this disappears, this is gone. Oceans don't dry up. This dries up, and yet we run after this. And we need to have this mindset. As Muslims, we need to develop a mindset. Why were we created? Nowadays, you hear people say that, oh, he was born to be a leader. He was born to be a doctor. He was born to be a king. He was born to be this. What are Muslims born to be? What are Muslims born to be? I'll tell you what Muslims are born to be. Muslims are born to die. So if a person, when he's born to be a king, he spends all his life training to become a king. If a person is born to be a leader, as they would say, he lives all his life trying to be a leader. We are born to die. So we should live all our lives preparing to die. That is what this dunya is. This dunya is nothing. And we should live our lives accordingly and have this mindset that we are born to die. This is our job title. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that you were created to worship me. You know, when you go for a job, the first thing they say is, give me a job description. You know, give me a title, give me what I'm supposed to do. And what will happen is at the top, it will have the name of the job, store manager, you know, doctor, whatever it is. And then after that, it'll have all the detail. For us, that job description is to worship Allah. That's our job description. And then there's detail. And the detail is in the Quran, the details are in the life of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the details are in the hadith. But that is our job title. That is our role. And that's what we need to. And what happens if we get distracted? For example, if your father was to say to you, "The beta, can you go to the shop, get some milk, get some bread?" And on the way, you see someone playing football and you go playing football. And you spend 2 or 3 hours there. And then you come back and you say, "Oh, yeah, my dad told me to get some bread." But then you start going to play cricket. And then you go to the cinema. And then you go here. And then you go there. And then you think, you know what? I'm sure my dad told me to do something. And you forget. And you come back. You come back to your dad with nothing. What's your dad going to be like? He's going to be unhappy with you. He's going to be sad with you. In the same way, our role, what is our role? Our role is to worship Allah. But along the way, we get distracted. We get here, we get there, we get here, we get there. And what happens is we forget our role. We forget what we're supposed to be doing. And then when we return to our Rabb, when we return to our Creator, not fulfilling our role, then obviously on that day, we're going to face disgrace. And that is something that we need to ponder over. What is our job? Why are we here? And everybody has this feeling, I'm here for something greater. I'm here for something greater. Yes, you are here for something greater. You're here for that day that you're going to die. That's what you're here for. And some people have 80 years to fulfill the role. Some people have 70 years to fulfill the role. Some people only have 20 years to fulfill the role. We don't know how long we've got to fulfill our role. Some people have longer. Some people have shorter. And a beautiful example was given when someone said that when he saw an ice seller, someone selling ice, and he said, the ice seller said, buy my ice because it's melting. And if you don't buy that, my goods are going to disappear. Because if he's got a block of ice this much, it's worth this much, it's worth a certain amount. But as it disappears and gets less and less and less and less, then the ice is worth less. Our lives are like that. Our lives are disappearing. So the amount of time we can do good deeds is getting less and less and less. And when our life is finished, in the same way that ice, when the ice is finished, you can't sell it. In the same way, when our life is finished, we can't perform any good deeds. So this is what our life is. This life is limited. This life, we don't know how long it is, but this life is limited. And we all know this. We all know that our lives are limited. We all know this. It's not something that's new. We all know that we are going to die. You know, the psychologists say, and I know I'm going to go a little bit off topic, but the psychologists say that everybody has boxes in their head. They say you have boxes in your head. For example, I'm an engineer. So I have an engineer box in my head. And whenever I need to, I open up that box. And I apply whatever I've learned as an engineer. And the same way that if you've got any other trade or any other skill, you know, you do a bit of wiring at home, a bit of DIY at home, you've got that little box in your head. When you come to the masjid, you've got your ibadat box in your head. You've got that Quran, that talawat, that zikr, all them things are in your head. There is one box in your head that we've got, but we very rarely open it. Because we don't want to open it. We don't want to look in that box. We're scared of looking in that box, and that's the box of death. It's there. We all know it. I'm not telling you something new, that we're going to die. You all know you're going to die. But we want to deny it. We want to forget about it. We want to put it to the back of our minds so we don't have to think about it. We'll think about it later. We'll think about it later. I've got plenty of time. I'm only 20. I've got plenty of time. I'm only 30. I've got plenty of time. I'm only 40. People say life begins at 40. People say, oh, 50 is the new 40. 60 is the new 30. And they deceive you with this. You get deceived by this. And as a result of this, you don't do what you should be doing. And before you know it, you're on your deathbed. And then you think, what have I done? I've wasted my life. And then it's too late. So Muslims, wake up. Wake up before it's too late. Coming back to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. He said, oh people, do you know where my home is? Where was the home of Isa alayhi salam? He said, do you know where my home is? The people replied, oh Prophet of Allah, where is your home? He said, the masjids are my place of residence. My feet are my conveyance. This is my transport. My feet are my transport. My hunger is in the filling of my stomach. My feet are my conveyance. The shining moon at the night is my lamp. And praying salah during the bitter cold nights is the most beloved action to me. My food is dry leaves. The grass of the earth and its plants are like fruit to me. And it's from them that the animals receive sustenance. I eat the same vegetables and plants. My clothing is wool. Fearing Allah Azza wa Jal is my sign. And the poor and needy are my beloved friends. I reach the morning in such a state that I possess nothing from the worldly things. And I reach the evening in the same state where I have nothing of the world. Yet I still have no concern over whether so-and-so is wealthy. I consider myself utmost fortunate. and extremely wealthy, meaning I'm pleased with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Being happy with what we have got. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam says, I consider myself wealthy. And what did he have? He had nothing. He had nothing. And nowadays what happens to us is, oh, you know, we want more, we want more, we want more. You know, they say the richest person in the world, who is the richest person in the world? And you'll be able to think of names in your mind that this person's the richest, this person's the richest, this person's the richest. The richest person in the world is he who is happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. If you are happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, you are the richest person in the world. And that is the problem. We're not happy. We always want more. We always want more. And what happens if we look to him? Well, he's got a 3-bedroom semi. I've only got a terrace. He's got a new car. I've only got a 10-year-old car. He's got this. I've got this. Why? And then what happens is, astaghfirullah, we go on to a boundary, a line where it's very, very dangerous. And that dangerous line is why. We start questioning why. Why has he got this house and I've not got it? Why has he got this shop and I've not got it? Why, why? And if you're not careful, this why can take you to the line of kufr. Because now you are questioning what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Rather than being thankful to what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, you're questioning. And we shouldn't be doing this. We should always be thankful for whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. You may think you've not got enough. You may think I've only got a small house. But look around the world. People had houses, now they're living on the streets. Blink of an eye. Blink of an eye, tsunamis happen and whole cities disappear. Do you think you're safe in Accrington? Do you think that nothing can happen to Accrington? Accrington's in a safe zone? No, you're not. Anything could happen here. A blink of an eye, all them things that you worked so hard for all your life, that house, that car could go. So every day you need to be thankful to Allah. That Allah give you this day. You need to be thankful to Allah that whatever mode of transport you've got, you need to be thankful. Whatever you have got, you need to be thankful. And nowadays we're happy, we're not happy. Oh, I've only got 3 pairs of shoes. I've only got 4 jackets. I've not got the latest trainers. I've not got the latest car. I've not got the latest PC tablet. I've not got the latest phone. I've not got this. I've not got that. And we're striving after that. We're running after that. We're trying to achieve all of these things rather than living a life of simplicity and basing our lives on what we should be doing. As Muslims, what happens is, and I've said this before, as Muslims, what happens is, I may look like a Muslim. You know, if you look at me, you say, oh yeah, he looks like a Muslim. Why? Because he's got a beard and he's got Imam Sharif on. And then you look at what I'm eating. Well, he eats halal food, so he's eating like a Muslim. But the question is, do I think like a Muslim? Do I think like a Muslim? And that is where we are struggling. We don't think like Muslims. We think like capitalists. We think like materialistic people. We're running after the dunya, we're not running after the akhirat. In the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are so many great opportunities. You know, as businessmen, there's certain times of the year where you know that you can make more money. And you look forward to them times of the year. Because that time of the year, you know, I'm going to get more work. I'm going to get more jobs. I'm going to make more money. And you look forward to them times of the year. At that time of the year, you know what? I'll make more money. And you look forward to that. But as Muslims, do we look forward to Ramadan? Do we look forward to Shab-e Miraj? Do we look forward to Shab-e Barat? These are the times where you can gain more sawab. Do we look forward to the day of Jummah? These are the times that as Muslims, we should be thinking to ourselves, look, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity. This, and grabbing these opportunities to please our Rabb. But unfortunately, we don't do this. Unfortunately, we're running after dunya, but not running after the akhirah. We think about all of these things, but we don't think about what our ultimate goal is. We run after an extra pound an hour. If someone says to you, oh, an extra pound an hour, you'll go there. But if someone says, stay in the masjid tonight and you get all your sins forgiven, forget that. I ain't got time for that. You know, during the month of Ramadan, we're told that you get 70 times. Well, forget that. I ain't got time for that. Yeah? But someone says, oh, you make an extra hundred. Yeah, I'll go there. We'll run after that extra money. We'll look for all of them opportunities. If someone, you know, you've heard it, so many people have told you the month of Ramadan is coming. And how is our mindset now with the month of Ramadan coming? Are we looking forward to the month of Ramadan? Or are we thinking the month of Ramadan is going to be a burden on us? Hi, fair age, it's coming again. I'm going to struggle during this month. Oh, that shouldn't be our mindset. You know, the pious people of the past, they would put all things aside in preparation for that month. In the same way that in your life, you put all things aside because you know that month's coming, where you're going to earn a lot of money. And in that month, you want to do as much overtime as possible. So you don't do your kitchen extension during that month. You don't go here and there that month. You don't plan trips abroad during that month. You don't plan any holidays during that month. During that month, you want to work as hard as you can because you know you can make as much money as you can. In the same way, do we have that same mindset when it comes to the month of Ramadan? We don't. We have this materialistic mindset that we've got. Allahu Akbar. It is narrated that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he spent 10 years of his life in the same woolen garment, wherever it would rip, he would tie it with a rope and place a patch on it. So he had this simplicity. But also when he said earlier on, one of the things he said was, But one of the things I love is worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal in the bitter cold of the night. Allahu Akbar. You know, when it's cold in the UK, yeah, the masjids are empty anyway, but when it's cold, oof, nobody comes to the masjid then. Why? Why is it so hard? The prophets have loved the salah, and they say that this bitter cold, reading salah then, is what he prefers the most. You know, I'm going to give you a bit of advice here. People who commit sins, any sins, you ask them, you sit down with them, well, you know, why do you commit adultery? Why do you smoke? Why do you drink alcohol? Why do you think this? And the truth of the matter is, whether they admit it or not, is they enjoy it. They enjoy it. They enjoy committing that sin. Whatever the sin is, when you sit down with them and you ask them, why do you do this? Whether they will admit it or not, they'll come back to you and they'll eventually say, well, you know what? I enjoy this. I get pleasure in it. Remember this, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel. If you commit a sin and you get pleasure, how long does the pleasure last? An hour? A night? A day? How long does the sin last? Forever. So never commit a sin for the sake of pleasure, because that pleasure will disappear, but the sin will stay with you forever. When it comes to performing a good deed, when it comes to performing, coming to Fajr in Fazana Medina in Accrington, and it's cold, and today the Imam's house forgot to turn the heating on, the geezer's not working, the water's cold, it's freezing, it's shivering, you come to the masjid and you're shivering like this to perform wuzu, and you're cursing the Imam's house, why have you not put the water on? Yeah, it's cold, it's shivering, you're freezing, you read your namaz, you go home, you performed a good deed. How long will that pain last? The pain that you've had in coming to the masjid in the cold, how long will that last? A couple of hours. How long will the good deed last? Forever. Never give up a sin for the sake of pleasure. That pleasure will disappear and the sin will stay with you forever. Never give up a good deed for the sake of hardship. That hardship will disappear and the good deed will stay forever. Please make good intentions to perform good deeds, no matter how hard they are. The month of Ramadan is coming. Make an intention that during the month of Ramadan, not only am I going to fast for 30 days, but I'm going to read X number of Quran. Not only that, I'm going to read all the Tarawees. In the same way that, you know, people, sportsmen, they have personal bests. You know, I lift 100 kilos. I'm going to try and lift 105. I'm going to do my best to lift 105 kilos. And they have this personal best. This Ramadan that is coming, you should make it your personal best. You should say to yourself that this Ramadan is going to be my personal best. I'm going to make this Ramadan my best. But in the same way that you make this Ramadan your best, in the same way you should say, I'm going to make 2023 my best. In the same way that you say 2023 is your best, you should make January your best. You should make the next week your best. You should make tomorrow your best. We should have this mindset. And in the same way that a sportsman, he tries to achieve his personal best all the time. He doesn't always achieve it, but he never gives up. We should always have this mindset that tomorrow is my best day of my life. Because tomorrow could be my last day of my life. This Ramadan should be my best Ramadan, because this could be my last Ramadan. And we should always have this mindset that this might be my last opportunity. Someone said that when you stand up for Salah, have this mindset that this could be your last Salah, because one of these days you're going to be right. When you raise your hands in the court of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, have this mindset that this could be your last opportunity to raise your hands in the court of Allah, because one of these days you're going to be right. One of these days, it will be your last opportunity. And so we need to bear that in mind. Coming back to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the honorable mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was also a saint. The name of Sayyidina Isa's mother is Sayyiduna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala. The meaning of Maryam is a worshipper and a servant. The name of her father was Imran, and the mother's name was Hana radiyallahu ta'ala. Sayyiduna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala was a saint from birth and the only woman to be mentioned by name in the Quran. She is leader of the women of paradise. Just as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are four leaders of women in paradise: Maryam, Fatima, Khadija, and Asiya. The Imam al-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Sayyidina al-Hazrat has stated that even after the birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Maryam was a virgin. She remained a virgin, she will be raised a virgin, and she will enter paradise as a virgin, where she will be honored to wed the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was born, we hear that this again is also the Islamic belief that he was born without the intervention of a father. So it was a miracle. And when Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu anha brought her child back to the people, and the people saw her, and they said to her, what have you done? You were a pious person. You were a virtuous person. Your father was pious. What have you done here? You've disgraced your family. And she pointed to the child. She pointed to the baby. She pointed to the baby. When she pointed to the baby, said, what are you doing? The baby cannot speak. And the baby, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, as a baby, this was the first miracle of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that as a baby, that baby Isa alayhi salam defended his mother. Defended his mother. Now Allah azza wa jal mentions this in the Quran. He says, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said that I am Allah's bondsman. He has given me the book and he has made me a conveyor of the unseen news. And he has made me blessed wherever I may be and ordained upon me salah and zakah for as long as I live. And he has made me dutiful to my mother and he has not made me hostile, unfortunate. And that very peace, I, the same that was upon Yahya, be upon me the day I was born, the day I shall pass away and the day I shall be raised up. This was the first miracle. That even at that young age, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was to there to defend their mothers. And again, you can go off this, you could take a message of the, that do we defend our mothers? Do we respect our mothers? Do we look after our mothers? These are all the questions that you need to ask yourself. And again, like you keep on saying, whenever you hear these, think to yourself that do I do this? And we hear about the miracles that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam performed as well. They stated that in one instance that he got some clay, he requested a bat, so he made a bat from soil. He made a bat, the animal bat from soil, he blew in it and it began to fly. These are one of his miracles. There are other miracles where he cured the lepers. There are other miracles where he gave life to the dead. Yes, Islam believes that. We believe in all these miracles. We believe in all these miracles. Allah Azza wa Jalla has taught us in the Quran and through the hadith of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that these miracles did exist. But there are certain things that you are taught in society that Islam goes against. And inshallah we'll talk about that later on. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of the channel, I don't want to take up too much time. What I'm basically trying to say to you is that as Muslims, we need to become aware of our deen. We need to know about our role models. And nowadays, unfortunately, we take the wrong role models. In recent weeks, people have taken role models of footballers, thinking they're the people that we need to look up to and admire and idolize and try to become about them. And unfortunately, amongst the youth, there are people today that know more about footballers than they know about the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I've said it many, many times, and I'll say it here to you. If I was to ask you a question today, to name me 10 footballers, you could probably do it. 10 cricketers, you could probably do it. 10 film stars, astaghfirullah, you could probably do it. 10 politicians, you could do it. But name me the Ashra Mubashra. The 10 companions that were guaranteed paradise. Name me 10 companions. Name me 10 prophets. Again, we would struggle. And this just shows to us that we are taking the wrong role models. And as Muslims, we need to wake up that Islam has such a rich heritage. We have such a rich heritage. We have no need to take anybody else as a role model. We don't have to look at anybody else. Our pious predecessors, look at Ghawse Pak, look at Sayyidi Ali Hazrat, look at all these people, look at their lives, how they lived their lives. Look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, follow my companions, they are like the stars, follow them, you will never go astray. Any one of them, follow them, you will never go astray. We don't know anything about them. How can we follow them if we don't know anything about them? And this is our weakness. When it comes to the Anbiya, when it comes to Sayyidina Isa alaihi wasallam, we don't know anything about him. When it comes to the final messenger, we don't know anything about him. How many of us have read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us have read about his life, about his sacrifices, about his teaching, about his travels, about the battles, about all the... How many of us have read these things? About the sacrifices that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for us, about the sacrifices that the companions made for us, about the sacrifices that the pious predecessors made for us. And when you read about their lives, you'll realize if it was not for them, we would not be here today. We would not be here today. And we owe it to them. And I've said it many, many times, but I'll say it here again because I've not said it in this place here. That everybody in this room that sat here today, except for the sayyids that are sat here today, go back 100 years, 150 years, go back 200 years, go back 250 years. And what will you find? You'll find in your ancestors a non-Muslim. Unless you are a sayyid, or a Siddiqui, or someone that can trace yourself back to the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will find back in the majority of our cases that our ancestors were non-Muslims. Now for a second, I want you to think about a certain day that happened in your history. Someone left their home, met your family member, and invited them to Islam. Allah. Allah. What a beautiful day that was. What a beautiful day that was, yeah? And that person, he's now resting in his dark and lonely grave, reaping the reward of everybody since then till now until the day of judgment that stays in Islam amongst them. But if that person on that day thought, you know what, I'm too busy, I want to play football today, I'm too busy, I want to open my shop today, I'm too busy, I want to make money today, I'm too busy, I want to do this today, where would me and you be? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? That how lucky we are that we were born in the fold of Islam, that someone came to our ancestors and brought us to Islam. If it was not for them, we wouldn't be here. If it was not for them, this building would not be here. So they've done their job. The question is now, what is my job? What is my job? And that's what Dawah Islam is here for. Dawah Islam has given us that job. Protect yourself, to rectify yourself, to give you those tools and resources so that iman that was given to you through your ancestors 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 200 years ago, that was given to you, to protect that, to rectify yourself and give you them tools to protect your iman. But at the same time, your role is to pass this message on, to rectify the people of the whole world, to bring them into the fold of Islam, bring those people that are heedless back into Islam. This is our mission, and this is the mission of Dawah Islam. So I implore you, I beg you, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Muslim channel, please attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islam. Attach yourself to this environment that will protect your iman, that will give you the tools not only to protect your iman, but the iman of your children, the iman of your family, the iman of your neighbors, the iman of your town, and inshallah azawajal, through your efforts, the iman of everybody around the world. This is our mission. Because Islam is haqq. There is no doubt about that. The weakness is ours. We are the weakness. How we present Islam to people. You know, I remember, I'm going to finish with this, because I think I've taken too long anyway. I remember once I was working in a place and there was a person there who did not believe in a creator. He didn't believe in the existence of a creator. And he said to me that you buy and sell cars. Would you ever buy a car without seeing it? And I went, no. And he said, how do you expect me to believe in a creator without seeing it? And it was a good question. That you wouldn't even buy a car off someone without seeing it, and you expect me to believe in a creator without seeing it. And for a few seconds, I thought he's right. But then I thought to myself, no, he's wrong. I would buy a car without seeing it. And there's two conditions. Condition number one, it's cheap. Yeah, someone phones you up and said there's a three-year-old car and it's only £2,000. You say, yeah, this is good. But there's a second condition. And the second condition is the person that's telling you about the car is honest. Is honest. Now, as Muslims, what are we offering? We're offering the deal of the century. We're having the best deal possible. We're offering paradise. So it's cheap. What's the problem? The salesman. The salesman's not honest. The salesman's a liar. The salesman's a cheat. The salesman's a swindler, i.e. us. People are not going to come to Islam when they look at us, because we are liars, we are cheaters, we are swindlers. We are the salesmen of Islam. Remember this. And I say to everybody that's in this room, that if you cannot be a salesman of Islam, you cannot sell Islam to people, you cannot bring people into it, at least don't do anything that can damage the image of Islam. Because you are living in a Muslim minority country and you represent Islam. Each and every one of you represents Islam. Whether you like it or not, it says on your forehead, I am a Muslim. You all represent Islam. Don't be amongst those people that people look at you and say, this is what Muslims are? Is this what their deen is? Not interested. Be proud of who you are and represent who you are. Remember, each and every one of you is an ambassador of Islam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the tawfiq to think about what I've said. Alhamdulillah, I'd just like to let the viewers know, it's something I was going to mention at the beginning, that Alhamdulillah, we are in Fazana Medina, Accrington here. In the UK, Alhamdulillah, we have more than 80 buildings in the UK, in Fazana Medinas, Darul Medinas, Jamatul Medinas, Madrasatul Medinas. And this particular building that we're in today was the third building that was bought by Dawah Islami UK. I think in 2005, 2006, I'm looking around, there's probably a few old faces that maybe remember when we purchased this building. This is the third building that Dawah Islami produced in the UK. And Alhamdulillah, as you know, within the UK now we have more than 20 jamias in the UK. The first Jamatul Medina started in this building. Alhamdulillah, we have a translation majlis in the UK, and all the books that you see that are translated into English, the translation started in this particular building as well. So whoever, think to yourself, whoever donated to this building at that time is reaping the reward of them two departments to the Day of Judgment, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Oh, Mubalik, for you is my prayer. Oh, Mubalik, for you is my prayer. see.